When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Is it just me, or has TV gotten really complicated? I'm either endlessly searching for my favorite shows or subscribing to a dozen different streaming services to make sure I can watch everything I love. And I'm not even saving that much money compared to my old cable bill. Thankfully, Philo has changed all that for me. One service, all the stuff I need. Philo's got current seasons of the shows I can't miss live on networks like Paramount, A&E, MTV, Discovery, and TLC. Classics like The Office, Martin, and Friends that I never get sick of, and all of the incredible originals on AMC Plus, from Mad Men to Orphan Black. Don't forget their library of more than 75,000 movies and shows, all of which I can save and re-watch anytime for a whole year. Never miss a minute of shows like Gypsy Rose, Life After Lockup on Lifetime, Yellowstone, or Fatal Attraction. Best of all, with Philo, you get all this for just $28 a month. No contracts, no hassles. Just one subscription and a world of entertainment. So go to philo.tv and check it out for a free 7-day trial. That's philo.tv to start watching.
Just in, we have a new guest, Patrick Manelli.
Patrick Manelli, the longest tenured player in Chicago Bears history.
I want to thank the Bears organization for an incredible 16 years.
Score Football pregame and postgame show co-host, master in the art of the long snap.
Do you have any kids?
I do.
Check out longsnapper.com. Have him start early to learn how to long snap.
He even has a signature beer.
Long Snapper IPA. The can, the artwork's me long snapping a ball on top of an El Camino. I have an El Camino, so.
Broke down on a 2-lane bridge. My dumbass, I get out of the car, put it in neutral, and start to push it. I'm running with the car with other cars going by me on the other side. And I'm like, how do I go in? Do I go in butt first, head first, head first, butt first, try to figure it out. I ended up getting in there. I don't even remember which way it was. That was a dumb move on my part, and that was kind of the end of the El Camino.
Patrick Manelli.
That was a good snap.
On 670 The Score.
How long does it take to grow the mullet?
The gourmet mullet?
Why is it gourmet?
Because it's awesome.
Before Chicago takes on Detroit, tune in Thursday morning from 9 to 11:30 for the Your Local Ford Dealers pregame show here on 670 The Score, presented by Aurelio's. Olin Krutz, Mully, and this man, Patrick Manelli, will get you set for the game. And then after the game, instant reaction on the Great Clips postgame show, presented by Sony Pictures Wonderverse, Chicago, and TimberTech Decking and Railing. It's all on The Score and the Odyssey app. Patrick is with us on the Circa Sports Illinois hotline. Download the Circa Sports app today. Hello, sir.
Good afternoon, or good morning, I guess. It is 11 o'clock. I'm down here in Florida right now. But it just seems like we're going to be talking about the same old Bears again, huh?
It sounds like it. The segment with Patrick Manelli brought to you by Horowitz, Horowitz & Associates, fighting for the injured for 100 years. Well, they got consecutive kicks blocked, and it wasn't until after the second block that a personnel change was made, where Pryor was subbed out and Darnell Wright was brought over there. Mm-hmm. Why did it take the second block for that move to be made?
I think they thought they fixed it with their alignment and kind of their formation. Because I think you heard other special teams coordinators and other guys talking about what they saw, the weakness up there on the left side with Pryor. But also they talked about there were gaps. Like in field goal protection, you can't have gaps. You've got to have, say, the outside guys, if you're on the left side, the outside guy's right quad has got to be right behind the inside guy's left hamstring. And they were a little wide. And I noticed that in the Arizona game. And that's what brought me to the attention of this. And that's why I brought it up against Green Bay when they got it blocked, that they were weak on the left side. So I think they thought they fixed it just by their alignment and potential technique with that. but they didn't. You know, that they just got physically beat. There's other things that go into it, Dan, is technique, obviously, is keeping your pads down, helping have more leverage, and then also playing with two guys on three guys. So they have three guys on two guys, and you kind of almost have to learn how to distribute the three of those guys running into two guys, and they didn't do that. Braxton Jones took on the one guy and gave up the leak and got beat, and that had to do with his pad level and just not using his leverage well enough. And again, guys, what is he weak at left tackle? The bull rush. And you would hope your left tackle could be a starter on your field goal team, but I just don't know if personnel-wise he is that guy.
No, I had to joke that now there's two different Braxton Joneses. There's out of the pocket on the move Braxton Jones, who I love.
Yes.
But then there's in the pocket versus bull rush or various other moves Braxton Jones, who I get frustrated with. But this is just not what you want to be talking about. This, to me, is an indictment again of the Bears saying, yeah, we're good. We got it. We adjusted it. We didn't care that it was on a hash mark or not on the hash that it needed right. to be on. No. None of this is true. These things did matter. They've cost you points. They've cost you two games now.
No doubt. And Layla, if I'm Hightower, I'm doing anything and everything to not get that blocked. And by that, I didn't get to finish yours. I would put my best personnel out there. I would make sure I would go to kicks, like you call it a kick side, right? So they're on the right hash. They're going to be kicking. I heard you, Cairo, talking about the ball's going to be going to the left side. Mm-hmm. You put your stoutest, best offensive lineman over there, and that's Darnell Wright. So to start the game, you know, I think he thought he fixed it with his technique and fundamentals and the alignment, all that stuff, but I'm taking that out. I'm like, screw it. If this is what I think is my real answer to it, if it's a dire emergency, well, you're already in an emergency. Put that guy out there at the beginning, and then you don't have to deal with it.
Well, it's the last thing I want in the kicker's head.
Really. Oh,
yeah. It's just not fair to the poor guy. Where...
Well, let me say something here. I think if people were just listening to your segment, I was getting a little fired up about this. And here's Cairo's job, right? It's to make kicks. And I know how a locker room works and how we are treated as specialists and how kickers and punters are treated. We shouldn't be talking. Never talk about what the guys in front of you are doing. Yes, are they to blame? Let everybody else talk about that. Did they get beat? There's technique bad. Were they getting bull rush back? Sure. But in a locker room, I'm just telling you, a kicker's job. And if I was with Cairo and I know him a little bit, I'd be like, hey, man, just say I got to kick the ball higher. I got to make my kicks. Because those guys are looking back at you like all you're doing is kicking the ball. And we've got 200-300 pounders barreling down my neck and trying to run me over. I just think the Bears right now, they have a talking problem. Everybody talks too much and lets you into the locker room a little too much. And I guarantee you the guys probably heard that. And they're like, come on, Cairo. I mean, we like you and all, but just be quiet. Just make your kicks, man. Let's get this situation fixed. And I'm just telling you, that's what goes on in the locker room.
Now, that's really interesting because then you start to think of the number of times you remember a kicker being vocal, and it's almost always associated with a bad team.
Brandon Marshall yelling at Robbie Gould.
Yes.
And Robbie had earned his stripes at that time, but it's just the way it is in a locker room of football. I mean, we're specialists, right? We're not out there putting our lives on the line and hitting each other and break our neck or stuff like that. So it's just a different feeling, and you should know better. That's all I'm saying. You should just know better as a specialist to not say too much, if that makes sense.
I just also think, again, though, I know these are all grown men, and I appreciate their autonomy, but where are your coaches to help oversee some of this stuff? And we like Richard Hightower for the most part, but this is especially glaring right now, Patrick, when you consider the distance with ease so many kickers are going from in the National Football League this year. I mean, there are guys making 53 look like chip shots. I don't care what kind of conditions there are. This is extra bad when you consider what's happening around the league.
Yeah, and the thing is, I understand what Cairo's talking about. And Dan, it's a great analogy of trying to hit a low stinger into the wind and all that kind of stuff. But we'll go back to Robbie Gould. He hit a very high ball and still was very successful. I think ended up at like 86% all time in the NFL. That was his percentage. And he hit a different style of ball and was very good in Chicago. We've had a lot of two days ago from Minnesota, hits a high ball. He was successful, and you can play the wind with a high ball. And it's hard to protect up front if your guy's kicking a low ball. But the game's changed a little bit. I'm not getting on Cairo. Is he getting older? I don't know. But he's had a very successful career. I think he's 85.2% kicking with that style. There's a little bit of problems, obviously. I'll say it. Let me say it, Cairo. I'll say it. There needs to be better protection up front. That's part of the problem as well. But also, he does need to kick the ball higher because every special teams coach the last 3 weeks is telling their guys in meetings, this guy kicks it low, this guy kicks it low. So they see the tape, they know it, Cairo knows it as well.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get 4 5G phones on us and 4 lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, and I also wanted to ask you this. I'm not trying to completely fire the guy. I think he's done a lot of good for this Bears team, especially when they were in a position of need. But they also rewarded him pretty richly for it. This is a contract that goes through 2027. They're committed to this guy. There's got to be some adjustments made, not just on his part, but the structure as well.
It's everybody. It's everybody. It's paying attention to details and knowing at that Arizona game. The Arizona game was horrible. I'm telling you, Pryor was getting pushed back, you know, 3 yards. I don't know how they didn't block any. Just from then on, it's coaching. It's players taking accountability, working on their pad level. And then Cairo needs to hit a little bit higher. He looks like he's kicking a low ball right now. And sometimes kickers get into funks where they're just off a little bit. I think everybody knows about Justin Tucker. Missed a couple kicks. Had a couple bad weeks. He looked a lot better last night. But they go into funks, and they've got to fix it. And I think right now it's just a combination of both of bad coaching with the technique with the guys up front, the guys not doing their job well up front, and Cairo, you know, going through a little funk of having to drive a low ball to make his kicks right now.
Let me go back to what you said about this team has a talking too much problem.
Yeah.
If somebody recognizes that within the team, I'm not saying you outside, but is that a position room thing? Is that a weight room thing? Like, does it have to be policed by a player or players? They talk a lot about and we've heard a lot recently nationally about, oh, it's a player-led team, which probably means your coach is a lightweight, first of all, or your coach sucks. But if it is a player-led team, whose job is it to say, hey, Cairo, we get you, you're right, but nobody wants to hear it?
Man, in that room, I don't know who, Travis Homer. I think he's
Travis
there.
Homer?
Yeah, I think he's kind of their dog in special teams, from what I've heard. I know the old special teams coach at Larry Izzo had him in Seattle and said he was their leader in that locker room for special teams wise. And I think he is there in Chicago. So it's just a guy like that. And it doesn't have to be a big name, big guy. Just it's whoever runs that room needs to say, hey, man, you know, just let's not talk about the guys up front. Just make the kicks. And it's that way with every position. Everybody needs somebody that kind of in their position rooms. Just kind of maybe you joke about it too, right? There's different ways to go about it. You could pull somebody to the side. You could joke about him in front of everybody. I know we've had Olin was fantastic at doing that in special teams, and stretch lines, and just kind of calling guys out that way in a funny way. And they would just kind of look around and be like, wait, wait, he's joking about this, but he's right. It's because the way everybody's looking at him. So it needs to be player policed. That's the way it needs to be done.
Well, Olin, I mean, he's, you know, probably, how many years did Olin have where he was that guy for the Bears?
All of them. Was he with all of them?
Yeah. Okay, first year, maybe one or two where he eased into the role.
Here's what's funny. The first year, he did not say a word. He was like the world's best rookie. He would not open his mouth at all. And after that, when he kind of got the job as the starting center, he took over the leadership job, him and Big Cat, and it never ended.
Yeah, was it Jay Lewenberg? Was Lewenberg there before?
Casey Wegman.
Yeah, it was Lewenberg, yeah. Then Wegman, and Wegman was a good player.
Very good player. 16 really good years. Player. Ended up playing with the Chiefs. Played mm-hmm. 16 years, yeah.
But the reason I asked this question in part is because after hearing you and Olin after every game, Olin has also talked about the talking problem when it comes mm-hmm. to people saying a lot of stuff to the media. And then he did say, you could hear him talk about giving an example of how he would have gone about things a little differently. And it speaks to the one you just gave. It also just makes me ask if there's somebody like that on the Bears who does that player-wise for them amongst themselves.
Yeah, I don't know. That is a great question. And, you know, we've always talked about our little run we had with Lovey, and we had Urlacher and his leadership style, and obviously Olin with his leadership style. And we would have guys come into our locker rooms, Julius Peppers, other guys that come into our locker room from other teams and be like, man, this is special. This is different, where it's policed within itself, but there was a lot of respect from player to player to player. And it went a long way where you could easily get a message across to the entire team, just player to player. And that's what it's just interesting to me. And it's a different time now, obviously, with podcasts and the radio show. Well, we still did radio shows back then, but podcasts. And I call it, you have a microphone in your hand now with a phone. It's just a different landscape now. But I do think it takes a couple strong guys in there that can get the message across. And it can be different ways. It can be forceful. It can be, you know, grabbing a guy by the shoulder and pulling him in the corner of the weight room and talking to him. It can be joking in front of stretch lines, like I said. But I just don't know if that's going on right now.
I can look at Thursday a couple of different ways here, and I know which way I'm leaning, but one way says, hey, the less time this team has to prepare, the better. Mm-hmm. The less time, just flip a switch, roll out there, and play. Like Joe Madden would do at the end of a Cubs season. He would declare American Legion Week, where he said the guys would get too into a routine, and he would say, look, I don't want you showing up until an hour before the game. And don't take BP. And just get out there and play. And sometimes that gets you a little bit of a reset, combined with the strange biorhythmic idea of an 11:30 a.m. kickoff in an East Coast time zone. Like there's a lot of weird going on. On the other hand, they could be ripe for just an absolute curb stomping.
Yeah.
Like a give up. It's enough of this. We've tried. That was the last death spasm this team had was the comeback at home against Minnesota that failed. Do you see what I mean? It could go either way.
So I'll give you this. So what happens on Thursdays, a lot of times at a couple of staffs I was with, on Monday morning when you show up, all they show you is a handful of plays from the game before, the ones you really have to get corrected, and then you're right on to the next team. So you're not sitting there for 24 hours stewing over your mistakes and talking about it and doing all that stuff. You move right on. And that might be a good thing after this 5-game losing streak. But again, this team, when you look at them, they're a juggernaut. I mean, they've had 252 or 50-point plus wins this year. You know, I mean, they scored 50 points. I mean, it is scary, too, where the Bears stand right now. And I just don't know where it's going to go. I mean, you can always say division game. It can be close, but it just doesn't look good right now. And I just want, before we go, I want to say something to you. I listened to Jalen Johnson earlier.
Yeah.
He sounds like a broken Bear.
Oh, no.
And here's a thought I was thinking about. He played 2.5 years with Roquan Smith, right?
Right.
Roquan Smith asked to leave the Bears. Are they talking at all? Are they friendly? That's just when I heard those words, I was like, wow. I mean, I understand it's tough with the 5-game losing streak, but all the years he's been here, he hasn't reached what he's wanted to do. And I just reading that or listening to that, I was just shocked. And I'm like, wait a minute. He played with Roquan, and Roquan wanted to get the heck out of here. I'm not trying to lead, maybe I am. That's what we do on Sports Talk Radio, but that's just an interesting situation to me to hear his tone and to hear his words.
That's what I said in the pre-show meeting, that when I heard that too yesterday, I thought, whoa, 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 that he mm-hmm. was, there was a filter that was removed there, I thought.
Yeah.
and there was a legitimate professional sadness. That's somebody who understands the contract he just signed, who maybe as at this point in his career understands his professional mortality a little bit in a way he maybe didn't.
I will say this. I think the difference is Roquan was up against a contract negotiation, and that was part of the tactics that were used. You know, that's probably – but you know Layla, better than I do, Patrick.
No, I'm just saying, okay, if they're friendly, right, and they're talking, like, what's it like on the other side? What's it like in Baltimore? What's it like somewhere else?
You know who he does talk to? David Montgomery.
There you go. Another one. Yeah.
He just brought that up yesterday.
I just that scared me when I heard that, because he's such a good player and you don't want to lose him. But then a guy can, you know, force the hand. And if he's that broken, because it just, that did not sound good. I mean, that's, to me, that sounded worse than a 5-game losing streak, because he brought up past histories, you know, the past years of the Bears.
And also kind of lampooned the idea of optimism.
Mm-hmm.
When people say, well, hope for the future for who? My future's right now. That's a player. That's a star player.
I know.
That isn't just a guy on the end of a roster or the guy at the end of a career. It is a star player in the prime of his career crying for help.
Yeah, it just did not sound good. And I'm sure Ryan Poles heard that. And maybe if I'm Ryan Poles, I'm like, hey, come to my office. Let me talk to you. What's going on?
What do you say to him?
I mean, just maybe you want to, I would sit there and jot down everything that he is not happy with and then go through line by line what's going on. And this is my plan for the future, and just try to, it's almost like you got to sell him a little bit. Obviously you did with the money you gave him, but you know, now guys can sit out, they can do whatever they want. And I just hated hearing that from a star Bears player who I love watching, that just sounded like he's a broken Bear.
But Patrick, I want to ask you this. Do you believe that if something were to come of a meeting like that, that there would be change?
I would just hope that as a general manager, you take that into all account. I know he has a big plan and all that kind of stuff, and it's not going according to plan this year, but I think that's your duty. I mean, you got to listen to your star players that, you know, you just do. You don't have to act on it, but you have to listen. I mean, there were some times I talked to Phil Emery at the end of my career about some things, and he listened. He really listened, but he didn't do a lot of, or didn't act on them. But he brought me in and listened, and I appreciated that, of, you know, being 16 years in the NFL. He listened, but I just think that's an important part as well.
I think the other piece of this too is knowing what they could be coming off of on Thursday. How do you go from there? Because at least you have a break. But the likelihood of Detroit just being an absolute steamroller on Thursday at home, Thanksgiving, wanting to prove on national TV what they've been doing the entire season, which is just scoring at will. There's a high likelihood of how this is going to go. And I worry about this team's mettle in trying to bounce back from that piece of it.
Yeah, I just, you know, I'm going to maybe give up the baseball analogy. I don't know it that well, but like wins above replacement. Mm-hmm. What is Eberflus's? Like, we're not winning games because of him. You know, you look at the coaches across the field the last 2 weeks, they're calling plays and also managing games brilliantly. And Matt's not. And that's one thing that scares me a little bit, that he seems like he's hurting this team with a lot of his decisions. And we saw him yesterday, or saw him Sunday, that, you know, there's the challenge, the 4th-and-4. You're putting guys in bad positions to win games. And that's hurting your team. And if I'm the McCaskies, if I'm Ryan, Kevin Warren, and Ryan Poles, that's an evaluation I'm putting in there as well. Could we have maybe won a couple of those games if he didn't make some bad decisions? So it's a hard decision to make. But do you want to go out with a fresher head coach out there making better decisions to put your guys in better position to play?
All right, I have to ask you this, because I asked Jalen Johnson. It's going to be like my question of the week. You've got Thanksgiving Day football. What are you eating, and what time is your meal? Because I know you guys are going to work on Thursday.
I'm headed to Louisville to spend time with my wife's family. I think we're eating right after the game, post game, so whatever that is. And then whatever they're cooking. And Layla, I eat whatever. The only thing I don't like is cranberry sauce. That's the only thing I don't like. But I'll eat anything else on the plate. But more importantly, I'm going to be in Louisville on Friday. I'm doing a bourbon trail tasting. So that's what I'm excited about.
Look out.
That's what I'm excited about.
You don't like any kind of cranberry sauce at all?
Go get it, baby.
Don't put fruit on my any of my plate. Okay. Not
I don't know that.
You
know,
potatoes and starches and stuff like that. That's just the way I am.
Cranberry sauce in the can, which I love, is I don't know how much fruit it really is.
True.
Yeah, it's
true.
Mostly pectin and citric acid, right? And,
but
yeah.
I love it.
And food coloring.
Well, so we might have hangry Patrick Manley on Thursday is what you're telling me.
Yes. Yes, you will.
And hungover.
Yeah. Hell yeah.
Is what it sounds
like. No, I'm going Friday.
Oh, that's
I'm
right. Okay.
Friday.
Okay.
I'm going Friday.
Well, enjoy. Enjoy.
I
happy,
will.
Healthy. Be safe.
All right. We'll see you guys.
All right. That's Patrick Manley. I don't want to see the headline, like, longest tenured bear arrested running naked through Louisville after Bourbon Trail tour goes awry.
Actually,
you don't?
You're right. I'm lying, actually. That would be a terrific headline.
I would have one drink and be like, "Wee!"
That's not true. You like a Maker's every once in a while?
Yes,
right?
All Maker's.
Yeah.
So when I have more than one, that I am incoherent.
Yeah, I had a
cheap date.
I had a few on Saturday night. We went back to Four Shadows, Patrick's place. I should have mentioned that to him because
you should have.
Yeah, because the owner there was like, "Hey, you're back!" I'm like, "Yeah, we like it here. It's just a really nice little kind of local bar." Perfect. This segment brought to you by almostfreeteeth.com. Save on dental implants today.